garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the question, or the title I have for this message is, The Last Question. The Last Question. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Last Question. Amen. We're going to pray one more time and ask God to give me utterance, that the word that will go forth will find good soil. Father, we just thank you for your presence and an anointing here today. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you move in this service. Let the words that be spoken be your words, Lord God, that they will, Lord God, that they will touch, Lord God, that they will encourage, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your presence and anointing, and we give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands one more time. Amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, as you grow older, your music tastes may change. You know, what you thought was so cool in your teens, maybe you don't really appreciate it anymore. And I remember, I wasn't in my teens, but I remember when this record first came out in 1981, I had maybe three songs on it that I really liked. And the rest of them, they were just a bit too wordy and too preachy for me. But in 1981, the Winans put out their very first album, which was called Introducing the Winans. And now nearly every single song on that album speaks to me. And the one that I want to kind of base the message on today is they have a song on there called The Question Is. Don't know how many of you know that song, The Question Is. I wonder if you could put up the lyrics. And it starts out with this. The question is, will I ever leave you? And the answer is, no, 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 no. I can't sing. No, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. And the next verse goes like this. It says, oh, I love the Lord, for he's so dear to me. And oh, he died that I might be free. And I was asked this question years ago, and the answer is still no. Now the question is, will I do his will? And it's yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yay, yay, yay. Oh, yes, I'm going to do his will. Then the final verse, they put all of the questions together. It says, now the questions are, will I ever leave you? Will I do your will? And when will Jesus return? And the answer is no. Yes, soon. Yes, soon. And, you know, this song spoke to me because when we're young, we first start out by asking lots of questions. You probably won't remember the first question you ever asked. Maybe your parents can remember it, but I can't remember the first question I ever asked. You may have asked many questions already today. Maybe you will remember right now what was the last question you asked somebody. So we may remember the last question, but we won't remember the first question. And in asking a question, there are several reasons why people ask questions. The first one, of course, is to learn something, to understand something. That'd be the most usual reason why people ask questions. But even in that, we can ask two types of questions. We can ask questions like, why did you buy that car, or how heavy that is? And there are other questions that are not things you can touch. They're intangible. The answers are like, how are you feeling? You know, you can't put your hand on that. That's an intangible question. But all of those questions, though, are for us to learn something, either to understand what somebody is going through or to understand something physical, you know, that bag is 100 pounds, or to learn something. But sometimes there are questions that have nothing to do with learning something about. I asked you, what was the first question you ever asked? And I'm sure none of us can remember that. But interestingly, the Bible records the first question, explicit question, that was ever asked. And the first question that was ever asked was by the devil. Did God really say you shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden? It's funny that the Bible records the very first question and the first explicit question was asked by Satan. Did God really say you shouldn't eat of the tree in the garden? That question was really not about learning anything. He wasn't asking that question because he wanted to know something. The first question that was asked after creation was by Satan. And the question was asked really to bring doubt. Today, Satan is still asking that question. Did God really say anything to you? Did God really say he cares for you? Did God really say, don't fear? Did God really say, to give and it shall be given back to you and pressed down, shaken together? Did God really say that? Did God really say, forgive and it shall be forgiven? Did God really say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? See, he's still asking a question. What is your answer? Did God say he loves you? Why are you going through what you're going through if God said he loves you? Today he's still asking me and you some questions. Even if you don't think so, he's asking you some questions. And he's not asking because he wants to learn anything. He's asking you these questions because he wants to plant some doubt. He wants to plant some hesitation, some questions in your mind. You know, when Eve was asked the question, she actually gave the perfect answer, if you read it. She said, yes, God has said we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, we may not eat of it, lest we die. She gave the right answer. If that had been the end of it, that would have been good. But you know what she did? She listened. She continued to listen to what he had to say. The problem then was not her first answer. Her problem was continuing to listen. The devil is going to ask you some questions, and you won't be able to stop the world asking you some questions or situations even bringing questions into your mind. But you need to give the right answer. And after that, you need to quit. You don't have to listen for the rest of the story. Most of us will answer the question correctly. Did God say, fear not? Yes, he did. Did God say, given it shall be given to you, shaken together, pressed down, and given back to you? Yes, he did. You know why? Because it's written that in the Bible. We can all give that answer. She gave the right answer. Did God say, forgive and it shall be forgiven you? Yes, he did. Did God say that he loves you? Yes, he did. So the proof that this question actually was not about Satan learning anything was what he said after that. In verse 4, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, he wasn't after really any truth because he already knows what he wants you to say. Just as he's asking the same question today, Satan is giving the same answer. You can do anything you want. You can eat the forbidden fruit. You can live any way you want. And you can do anything you want. And you shall not surely die. Don't go quiet now. Because we all know that was a lie. But he's saying the same thing to the same question. Did God say he loves you? No, he doesn't love you. You might as well do whatever you want. You may as well live whichever way you care to. Because you're not going to die. You're young. You know what's, my wife and I, we look at each other anytime there's like an obituary and they give the age now. We never used to do that. 65. Ooh. And we look at, that means they're younger than us. That's what that look means. She looks at me and I look at her and go, That's a bit close. That's a bit close. You see, Satan is a liar. He's asking the same question and giving the same answer. You don't have nothing to worry about. You can do anything you want. You can live any way you want and you shall not surely die. But you know that was a lie. It's interesting then that the second question in the Bible was from God. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. You see, we'll try and hide ourselves. Hide ourselves in drugs, hide ourselves in alcohol, hide ourselves in our job, hide ourselves in sex. As soon as we hear the voice of the Lord. But he has a question too. And the question is, where are you? Where are you? I'm asking you, where are you? Are you hiding today somewhere? There's a question to be asked here. First question was Satan. Did God say? God's question is, where are you? What are you doing? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam. The second question written in the Bible is, where are you? Where are you? As I said, people today try and hide. Maybe not with fig leaves, but they hide with alcohol. They dose themselves up with all kinds. They throw themselves into all kinds of stuff. Maybe they're into sports. They don't want to confront the questions. Where are you? You think you'll live forever? Don't you know there's a life after death somewhere? See, it's a shame, actually, when you think about it, that God had to ask them that question. He had created them in perfection, given them this beautiful place to live, almost nothing to do, food provided, clothed them with his glory. And now he's having to go and find them and ask them, where are you? See, the Bible is actually full of questions, and the questions actually, if you study them, can tell you a lot of stuff. He had created them in his image. In the end of chapter 1 of Genesis 1, God looked at his creation and he said it, not just that it was good. He said it was very good. And yet now, he's having to look for them. He's having to find them and ask them questions. Now, it's interesting, the man's answer to, where art thou? Well, the first thing he said was, because I was afraid. Then he said, because I was naked. That's why I was hiding. Then God asks a second question. Who told you you were naked? I never said that. You know what that means? You're listening to somebody else's voice. You're listening to somebody else telling you something about you that may not be what God wants to tell you about you. God had declared them perfect. Yeah. They had no clothes, but they were clothed with his glory. I don't actually think you could have seen Adam and Eve. I think they were shining so bright you couldn't have even looked at them. But Satan wants to declare you naked. He wants to declare you no good. He wants to declare you washed up. So God asked the second question. Who told you this? Who told you this stuff? And then the last thing he asked them, when Adam said it was the woman. You know, we're always ready to blame somebody else. It was her. The woman you gave me. The woman you gave me, that's who. So God asked a third question. What have you done? Do you understand, Eve, what you have done? Do you understand, Adam, what you have done? There's going to be thousands of years now of sorrow, thousands of years of mess, thousands of years of pain. Do you understand what you have done? By listening to the wrong question. What is this thou hast done? Well, the serpent tricked me. Now notice, God didn't ask any questions of the serpent. He didn't have to. He knew, the serpent knew what this was all about. He was there to steal, kill, and destroy. In the Bible, from Genesis to the last book, there are hundreds of questions. I'm not going to go through. We'd be here a few hours. But I just want to jump to the New Testament. And I want to now change the setting because God is about asking some questions. The question that Jesus asked the most is, do you believe? About more than 7 times in the New Testament, you'll find he asks a question that's framed with, do you believe? He asked Nathanael in John 1:50, do you believe now that I told you that I saw you? In John 9:35, he says, do you believe I'm the Son of Man? To the crowd with the woman with the issue of the blood, he asked, who touched me? So at least 7 times Jesus asked this question. The most question that Jesus asked was, do you believe? He's waiting for an answer. In the Old Testament, God asked, where are you? But now he's asking, do you believe? Do you believe? Can I get a show? Does anyone believe here today? To the blind man, he asked, do you believe I'm able to do this? He's asking this, the same question that Satan is asking you. Jesus is asking you too. Satan is asking you, do you believe what God says? Jesus is asking, do you believe what I've said? The same question is being asked today. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Before Jesus healed anybody, that was the question he asked them. He wanted to see where their faith was. We're here today. I hope it's because you believe something. I hope you came here believing that you could hear something. You could worship something that was going to change your day, change your week. I hope you can answer the question, do you believe? The blind man, he asked, do you believe I'm able to do this? His answer was, yes, Lord. He was in a hurry. Get this over. Give me my sight. You came here today. Do you want some sight? Do you want some blessing? Do you want some deliverance? You're going to be able to have to answer the question. The next most popular question that Jesus asked, five times he asked, is, what do you want me to do? A blind man comes to him. He knows he's blind, but he asks him, what do you want me to do? You know what? We have to confess our need. Yeah, Jesus knew he was blind. Jesus knew what, but he had to say it. You today have to open your mouth just like the blind man and say something. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Five times in the scriptures he asked the question, what do you want me to do? Three times he asks, where is your faith? See, there's some questions to be answered. There's some questions to be answered. Now, I chose that Winans song because the questions on that last verse is, will I ever leave you? Then the question goes, will I do your will? And when will Jesus return? And the answer is no, yes, and soon. Yes, there are many questions that Jesus is still asking us. Right from the garden, he asks, where are you? Are we going to say the woman? Are we going to say the serpent? No, he's asking you, what are you going to do? Stop blaming other people. Salvation is a personal thing. Bible says you got to work out your own salvation. You can't work out someone else's. You can't work out your child's. I can't work out my children. I have to give an account for myself. You will have to answer the question yourself. Adam said, it's this woman you gave me. She said, oh, it was this snake here. See, it was the snake. That will not do because he's asking, where are you? In the New Testament, he's asking, do you believe? He's asking, what do you want me to do? Where is your faith? He asked a lot of other, some people he asked, who do you think I am? Who do you say, Peter, that I am? Can you answer that question? Can you say, he's my savior, he's my deliverer, he's my healer, he's my confidant, he's my BFF, he is the lover of my soul, he is the Lord and my God? He's got some questions for you today. See, when we come to church, we expect to just sit there and have the preacher say some nice things. But I want you to think today, because Satan is going to ask you some questions when you go out there. He's going to say, did God really say he loves you? Did he really say he can deliver you? Can you really be healed? Is he actually listening? See, he's got all these questions, the same ones really from the garden. Did God say? And Jesus is saying to you, do you believe? So the woman with the issue of the blood, Jesus had to turn to the crowd and say, who touched me? Today, would he turn to this crowd and say, someone in here touched me? Because if you didn't come with that intent, you won't touch him. You have to come with the determination, I need something today. I didn't just come to this church to hear some music or see some people. I want to leave different. I want to be touched. I want to be changed. See, Jesus asked his disciples some hard questions. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Yeah, you want to be a Christian. You want all the miracles. You want to touch people and see great things. You want the blind eyes open. You want people. But can you deal with the rest of it? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? They didn't know what they were saying. Yes, Lord, yes, I can do it. He looked at them and he said, Yeah, you will. They had no idea. Another time, one of the last questions Jesus asked was at the Lord's Supper. He laid aside his garments, took a towel and a basin, and started washing their feet. Now, this was crazy. They're looking at him like, what is he doing? We have servants for that. He's the master. So he asked them a question. Do you understand what I have done to you? They did not. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you know what that means? You're to wash each other's feet. He means we're supposed to be helping, encouraging each other. By that one question, he was saying a message. He asked the question, do you understand what I'm doing? God is asking us some questions today. I want to bring this to an end. Told you it was going to be short. This message was titled, The Last Question. See, the Bible tells us the first question God asked, which was, where are you? And it gives us the last question that Jesus asked in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And it's maybe a little bit of an implied question, but it's a question anyway. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. The question is, will you open the door? Will you open the door? Isn't that interesting? The question is, are you going to open the door? Jesus is knocking. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open. I'm asking you today, are you hearing any questions today in your heart? Is Jesus speaking to you? He's speaking to me and he's telling me, you open the door. No, we have a camera system on our door. We don't go opening the door. Most of the time, right? We look, see who it is. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to look. It's Jesus who is knocking on your door. And the last question that Jesus asked is, will you open the door? That song that the Winans made, it's called The Question Is. Will I ever leave you? Will I do your will? And when will Jesus come? And the answer is yes, no, and soon. If you could stand with me. Now, if you're the devil, Jesus is not going to ask you anything. Didn't have to ask Satan what he was about. He asked Adam. He asked Eve. And he didn't ask a single question to the devil. Because he knew what he was about. But if you are not the devil, if you're Adam, he's asking you a question. If you're Eve, he's asking you a question. First of all, where are you? And then lastly, Jesus said, I stand at the door. And I'm knocking. Will anyone open up and let me in? In Matthew, Jesus replayed a scene at like the Last Judgment. And he said, he told this parable. He said, there were these people, and he said, I was in prison. You came and visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And then they asked a question. Lord, when did we do these things? And the answer was, when you did it to the least of these. There's questions being asked. Satan is asking you some questions. God is certainly asking you some questions. The question is, what is your answer? We're at the 50th week of 2024. I could ask you a question. You may not like it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to ask myself that. Question is, will I be alive at the end of 2025? I don't know. There are questions to be answered. The question is, will you ever leave him? Are you going to make a commitment today to open up the door? Amen. These altars are open. I know this is not a Christmas message, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart. At the end of each year, people usually do some kind of soul searching, right? We're going into a new year. We kind of take stock of where things are, what things happen during the year. And some people make resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And so I think this message for this time of year is fitting. We need to answer some questions. Are we going to live the way we lived in 2024? That's a question. My answer is, I hope not. I want to do better. I failed in some things that I wanted to do better in. I hope my 2025, that I will overcome some things. That I will have some more faith. That when I hear the knock, I'll run down there and say, Jesus, please, come on in. Because I need you. I can't get through 2025 without you. He may be asking some of us, where are you? I blessed you. I took you through some trials. I delivered you. I healed you. You made some promises. You made some commitments. Where are you? Oh, it was him. It was her. It was my circumstances. Why I couldn't come to church. Why I couldn't make a commitment. Where I couldn't decide to just believe you. I'm done. This altar's open. I'm not trying to preach a hard message, but I just want you to know God has some questions. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe he can change your life in 2025? There's a question. Do you believe you can be blessed in 2025? Do you believe you can be delivered from some temptations in 2025? Do you believe you can be healed in 2025? In fact, that you can be healed now. That you can be delivered now. The question is, what's your answer? Hallelujah. We're going to pray for those who are at the altar. And church, I'd invite you to pray wherever you are. Do some reflection. Because we're asking God stuff, but you know what? God is asking us stuff. Stand at the door and knock. You gonna let me in? Said to Eve, what have you done? What have you done? What have we done in 2024? What are we gonna do in 2025? I believe today he's asking, what do you want me to do? It's significant he asked that question 5 times. You know what? 5 is the number of grace. What do you want me to do? He's asking you that question. Are you going to answer him? Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, make me your child. Lord, make me your servant. Lord, give me some faith. He's asking, what would you want me to do? You're going to answer him or ignore him? All right, I really am done now. The question is, hallelujah. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your grace and your mercy. Lord, you've taken us through 50 weeks. We have just 2 more weeks. Lord, I ask you, oh God, to help us give you the answer. Lord, to open up the door to our hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray you work in our hearts, Lord God. Give us a better outcome. Lord God, help us to walk worthy of the calling, to really get to know you, to make the commitment, Lord, to open up our hearts, to open the door that you can come in. Father, we just thank you now for your great mercy that you're asking right now, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want you to make me your servant. Lord, I want you to help me, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, be more like you, to be made into your image, Lord God. We thank you right now, Jesus, because you're still asking the question. Hallelujah, we thank you for that opportunity to give an answer, to say, be my Savior, be my deliverer, be my healer. Hallelujah. Continue to be the lover of my soul. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, for those who are at the altar, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you give them the answer to the question. Jesus, bring deliverance into their lives. Bring healing into their lives. Bring blessing into their lives. We thank you right now, for you are an awesome God. Church, if you could continue praying as I pray for those at the altar.